and family is where we're going to land. That's the point I'm going to invite Janet up. Janet is one of the part of the clergy team here at Christ Church. And she is going to be continuing our series on some of the values we're looking at. Paul's been talking to us about generosity. Janet's going to start talking to us about family. And let me pray for you, Janet. It's a delight for you to be talking to us this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Janet. I thank you for her love for you. I thank you for how she has sought your heart through your word and through spending time with you to hear your word for us this morning. And I pray for her that as she brings your word to us, you will give her confidence and courage, and that you give us ears to hear your voice to each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Janet.
Thank you very much, Chris, and thank you so much to the worship team. And just to say again, hello and welcome. It's so good to see so many of you. The building's really full at the moment. And also just to say welcome to those who are watching online. We're in the middle of a preaching series called Preparing for a New Start. Literally, because we've been in lockdown and slowly we're coming back into the church building where things aren't exactly as they were before. It's a new building. Look at the new carpet. It's exciting. The foyer as we came in. But we're also looking back 2,500 years to other people who were preparing for a new start, going back to a place where they'd been before. And that's the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. During Ezra and Nehemiah, we hear the story of how all the Jewish exiles were gradually moving back again to Jerusalem, a place where they'd been before, and yet things weren't exactly the same as when they'd left it. So many parallels with us today, after the pandemic, but after a building project too. So for the last 2 weeks, Paul, our vicar, has been preaching, and he was particularly talking about the value of generosity, of everybody counting, of having a multi-generational church, and I love having the children around in the building too, and of following God wholeheartedly. If you haven't already, can I suggest that you do catch up and listen to Paul's sermons from the last 2 weeks? Ours today is particularly looking at family and community, and today is part one. And we're particularly looking at Ezra 7 and Ezra 8. If you've got a Bible, turn it on or turn to it, find the Psalms, and basically you go backwards, go left a bit, and you'll get to Ezra and Nehemiah. The first six chapters of Ezra took place back in 539 BC, which I make about 2,500 years ago. Cyrus, the king of Persia, had defeated the Babylonians. And when he took over the Babylonian Empire, he found that there were all these different peoples and exiles there who had been taken from their own countries. And he allowed them to return, to go back to the countries where they had fled. So the first six chapters of Ezra are all about that first group of exiles under somebody called Zerubbabel returning back to Jerusalem to restore the temple. We have to have a map, don't we? Because I'm preaching. I love maps. Here's the map. Babylon is over in the east, and you can see Babylon, and then following that river Euphrates, they journeyed. That journey was 900 miles. It took them like 4 months to do, 900 miles, up through Babylon, down through Damascus, reaching Jerusalem there. And when they went back, the first thing they did was restore the temple, the worship, restoring the foundation, restoring the altar. And by the end of Ezra chapter 6, they'd finished the initial rebuilding of the temple, and they celebrated with great joy the Passover. So now we jump another 57 years, and we get to the year 458 BC, and Ezra is about to return from Babylon to Jerusalem with another group of exiles. And Ezra is a priest or a scribe. And we can date it really accurately because in verse 7, the seventh year of King Artaxerxes, so we know it was 458 BC. And this assorted group of people traveled those 900 miles back from Babylon to Jerusalem. Ezra 7 begins by telling us all about who Ezra was, and I'll just read a little bit. After these things, during the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra, son of Sariah, son of Azariah, son of Hilkiah, son of Shalom, son of Zadok, etc., 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 son of Eleazar, son of Aaron, the chief priest. This Ezra came up from Babylon. So we know from his family history, he was descended from Aaron, who was the chief priest and Moses' brother. We're going to be thinking about family today, about family and community. And in particular, what does it mean to be church family? What does it mean to be church community? We're going to be thinking who came on that journey, who is coming on that journey back to the building. What a mixture of people they were. Who was missing on that journey? How did they all work together? What did they all do? And how did they pray together? As I said before, they came in different groups, in dribs and drabs, if you like. It took over 100 years to get all those different exiles going back to Jerusalem. And it's a bit like us returning to this church building. I've met at least two people today, and this is the first time they've been back in the building over months and months and months. And the people had a choice whether they wanted to come on the journey or not. So let's read Ezra 7, verse 7. Some of the Israelites, including priests, Levites, musicians, gatekeepers, and temple servants, also came up to Jerusalem in the seventh year of King Artaxerxes. Note that word, some. They didn't all go at once. Some of the exiles, some of the Israelites, never went back. Some of them came back really early. Some of them were a bit more cautious. But they had the choice of returning. We're told later on in chapter 7 that the king gave them a choice. And this is a letter written by King Artaxerxes to Ezra, reading from verse 12 and 13. Artaxerxes, king of kings, to Ezra the priest, teacher of the law of the God of heaven. Greetings. Now I decree that any of the Israelites in my kingdom, including priests and Levites, who volunteer to go to Jerusalem with you, may go. Artaxerxes, the kings of Persia, called themselves the King of Kings. It just reminded me of God, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Anyway, this King of Persia said, any Israelites who want to, and he uses the word volunteer, they can go on that journey with Ezra back to Jerusalem. There's something there about choice. God doesn't force us to go on a journey with him. They were free. If they wanted to leave Babylon and go back to Jerusalem, they could. It was a very generous gesture of the king to let these captured people, these exiles, go back. But he gave them a choice to go back. And we have that choice of coming back, of going on the journey back to the building. Moreover, the letter goes on. you are to take with you the silver and gold that the king and his advisers have freely given to the God of Israel, whose dwelling is in Jerusalem, together with all the silver and gold you may obtain from the province of Babylon, as well as the freewill offerings of the people and priests, the temple of their God in Jerusalem. There's that generosity again. Take with you all those gifts of money. This Renew project that we are now experiencing the joys of took money. People were really generous in what they gave. And in the same way, the king is saying, take money, take gifts. And then he adds, as well as the free will offerings. And a free will offering is something that you have a choice about. You can choose whether to give. There's a generosity of spirit in King Artaxerxes. There's a generosity in giving money, giving people the choice to give. The money was for rebuilding the temple of God. The basic building had since taken place, but it needed fitting out, so they needed those articles of silver and gold. So, following their free choice, rather a mixed group of people set out on that journey. Going back to verse 7 again, have a look at all the different people that were in this group. Priests, Levites, musicians, gatekeepers, temple servants, all came up to Jerusalem along with Ezra. Family, community is made up of all sorts of people in all sorts of roles. Not everyone did the same job. So looking at that list, the priests were the ones who offered sacrifices in the temples, who helped with the worship. The Levites were the people who did lots of different duties, supporting the priests. They did other duties in the temple. The musicians, that was fairly obvious, they led the worship. The gatekeepers were like the people who welcome you on the door. They guarded and protected the building. And the temple servants did every other job, all the roles as needed. It's just the same in our church family. There's a whole lot of roles. We are not all priests, we're not all Levites, we're not all gatekeepers, and we're certainly not all musicians. I mentioned earlier how great it was to have those people leading us in worship today. Wouldn't it be great if our giving increased, if our generosity increased, and we could put more money into those leading our worship and pay for a permanent worship leader? Last week at this gathering, we prayed for and commissioned four people to be ordained to a different role, the role of being a curate in the Church of England. So if you were here last week, we prayed for Bob, for Debs, for Errol and Caroline. And they're going off to serve God in quite a particular role in a new parish. Families have a mixture of different roles. Ezra's role was quite specific. We're told he was a priest and a scribe. We're told he was a teacher, well-versed in the law of Moses. We're told in verse 10 he devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord, to teaching its decrees and laws. So Ezra's role was fairly clearly defined. He's the one who did a lot of the teaching. He obviously had a talent for it. But he also studied and observed the law. He read the scriptures, which were the Torah, but he also obeyed them. He observed them. There's something there about not just studying the scriptures, doing your Bible study, being well-versed, but also observing it too, observing the law. So besides Ezra and this group of Jews, this exiles, they weren't all Israelites. Because of intermarriage that had taken place during the exile, they took along on the journey a few people on the fringe, people who had a sort of connection to the Israelites. So who are the people on the fringe on our journey? Not completely part of the church family, but somehow connected in some way. So I've been thinking a lot about roles and the different roles played by those exiles. I've just come back from a lovely family holiday up in the Peak District, and there were three of us there, my husband and I and our youngest son. And there were lots of different roles that we played. I am not going to tell you who did what. You can guess if you want to. Some of us in our family prefer driving, and so we tended to do all the driving. Some of us are really good at navigation, and we did the navigation. Some in the family are really good at packing the car neatly, and they did that. Some people in the family really like sorting out the kitchen and what goes where. Some people were really good at following maps and taking you up a footpath. Some people were the ones that were really good at remembering to bring water or sunscreen. Some people were really good at keeping our spirits up and entertained. There was a whole lot of different roles going on just in a family of three last week. We just fell into those roles. People tended to do what they were good at or they particularly enjoyed. But if we'd mixed it all up, it would still have worked. It just wouldn't have been as smooth. So if a person in my family who wasn't very good at map reading read the maps, we might have got lost a bit. If somebody wasn't very good at packing the car did that, we'd have managed. It just wouldn't have been so smooth. Or if somebody else forgot the sunscreen, we'd have coped. The point is, when we do the right roles, things go really well and smoothly. And the same applies within the church community. And we can take on other roles, but it just never works quite so well. We need each other. We need each other. It doesn't matter if you're not a Levite or a gatekeeper or a musician. What role is God calling you to do in the church family? So who came along on the journey? A whole group of people with a whole number of different roles. If you move on to chapter 8, I noticed something I'd never seen before, and that was who was missing. There is a very long list of names in Ezra 8, and I'm not going to read them out to you. You'll be glad to know. But if you jump on to verse 15, after the description of this group that gather by the canal just to the northwest of Babylon, we're then told, Ezra says, I assembled them, that's Ezra, at the canal that flows towards Ahava, and we camped there 3 days. When I checked among the people and the priests, I found no Levites there. And then it goes on, I summoned various people, I ordered them to go to the Levites to try and find some attendance for the house of God. And because the gracious hand of God was on us, they found 2 Levites, Sherebiah and Hashabiah. Ezra checks that group of exiles and he finds there's a group missing, the Levites. And so he goes to find people who are missing. He goes to find Sherebiah and Hashabiah. And in verse 18 and 19 of Ezra 8, we're told that they bring along with them. Sherebiah has a family of 18 and Hashabiah an extended family of 20. Who is missing from our church family? Should we go and look for them? And when people come in, they bring with them their extended families. And that's how the church grows, when one person comes and brings their whole family with them. And it's a challenge to us now, as we come out of lockdown, who are the members of our church family who are missing? Who are the people? I remember sitting next to them in church, or I remember them from my small group. I wonder where they are now. Perhaps I can give them a ring this week or a call. Who is missing? Let's go and find them and bring them on that journey, because we need the whole family to take up all those roles. There was a lovely phrase that keeps coming up in Ezra, and the phrase is, because the gracious hand of our God was on us. I was strengthened by the hand of the Lord my God upon me. God was there working behind the scenes. God's hand is there working. So the church family came along. There was a complete mixture of people, all with different roles. They had a free choice about coming on the journey. But the leader noticed who was missing, and they did something about it. So we thought about the family, we thought about going along on the journey. Next thing is, how did they all work together? Well, they travelled as they group, and they went back to Jerusalem, and they rebuilt the temple. Ezra and Nehemiah, as books of the Bible, used to be the same book. They've been separated, and in fact, they were attached to 2 Chronicles. And it's all part of the same story. And if we look on at Nehemiah, we hear about the sort of jobs that they did, the jobs that were needed. Whilst we're still in Ezra 8, as they're about to embark on this journey, Ezra has all that money. You remember all that money, all the silver and gold that they collected? And he has to divide it up so that everybody on the journey can carry it the 900 miles from Babylon. And so we're told, I set apart 12 of the leading priests. There's Sherebiah and Hashabiah and 10 of their brothers. I weighed out to them the offering of silver and gold and the articles the king, his advisors, the officials had donated for the house of our God. And then there's a long description of how much silver, how much gold. Ezra tells them to guard carefully all this silver and gold on the journey. And there's something in that story about sharing the load. Sharing the load. Rather than just one person carrying all that treasure back, Ezra divides it up between all these people on that 4-month journey. How can we work together as a church family or a community? How can we share the load? How can we divide things up? When they got there, Ezra collects everybody together, having divided it up amongst priests and Levites. And 4 months later, we reach verse 34 of Ezra 8. Everything was accounted for by number and weight, and the entire weight was recorded at that time. I find that amazing. In 4 months, all that silver, gold, 20 bowls of gold, 100 talents here, 1,000 darics here, every single bit of treasure was safely delivered back to Jerusalem. They literally shared the burden, and nothing was lost or stolen. Lots of implications for us as a church family or a community. Do we have that same level of sharing or trusting God, working together for the greater good of the whole family, of the whole community? If you move on to the book of Nehemiah, there's another example of how they worked together, and that was the rebuilding of the walls. Another map. This is a map of the walls of Jerusalem. You may not be able to see clearly, but for each section of the wall, they've written the name of the family responsible for that bit of wall. So in Nehemiah 3, it says, Eliashib, the high priest, his fellow priests, went to work. They rebuilt the sheep gate. They dedicated, set its doors in place. They went as far as the Tower of the Hundred. And then as far as the Tower of Hanel, the men of Jericho built the next section. Zaccur, son of Imri, built next to them. And Nehemiah talks about the fish gate, the broad wall, the valley gate, the dung gate, the fountain gate, the water gate, the horse gate, the east gate. 32 verses later, he gets all the way around the building, all the way around Jerusalem to the sheep gate again. There's a lovely list in Nehemiah 3 of the people. It talks about the goldsmith. One of them was a perfume maker. One of them was a priest. One of them was a ruler. And one of them, Shalom, repaired a section with his daughters. So there. We're dependent on each other. We cannot rebuild all the wall or all the temple on our own. But the community worked together to rebuild the walls. One of the things we do as a church is support a tear fund project in Kitgum in Uganda, where the emphasis is on the community working together, a community participation scheme, where the community or the village get together and decide how can we pool our resources for the good of the whole community. And it's a really effective way of development. It's the same principle. Working together, we can achieve so much more. Building together, building the walls together, gives that sense of belonging. I saw this in practice last week. If you were here last week, the side aisles were absolutely full of stuff from the crypt. But a group of people have been in the church, headed up by Cameron, and they have been gradually taking things downstairs. Cameron on his own, wonderful though he is, could not have got every single plate, bowl, child's toy, bit of youth equipment, saucepan down there. But as a community, working together, we have been able to get things downstairs. The pandemic has shown us just how much we need family. We need community. We need each other. Oh, how we have missed people and connections. Let's be church family working together for the good of all. So we've thought about the church family on that journey. We've thought about who was there and who was missing, how they worked together, and finally, how they prayed together. We're back in Ezra chapter 8. We're back by the canal. There by the Ahava canal, this is before the journey began, I proclaimed a fast that we might humble ourselves before God and ask him for a safe journey for us, for our children, and for our possessions. Verse 23, so we fastened and petitioned our God about this, and he answered our prayer. So before this long journey back, Ezra gathered everybody and they fasted and they prayed together. They didn't just assume this journey would be straightforward and free of hazards. They humbled, they fasted, and it was the whole community. They prayed to God together and he answered prayers. There's an old motto that says the family that pray together stay together. This idea of the whole community praying together, it just helps us stick together. On our holiday last week, we prayed together just very briefly in the car before we set off on the journey. We just do it automatically now. Just, dear God, give us a safe journey up the motorway, and it was fine. Do we pray together before this long journey, preparing for a new start? How great is the one church, one day prayer thing? How much do we actually pray together with members of our family or our small groups or our teams? How often do we humble ourselves before God and fast and pray? So we've thought lots and lots about being family and being community together in Ezra 7 and 8. Next week's going to be quite a different talk. It's going to be practical. We're going to have three or four people talking about their experiences of church, being family and being community. So please come next week or watch it next week as we explore more practically what it means to be church family, church community together. 900 miles, 4-month journey in Ezra. Who came? A whole mixture of people. They had a choice whether to come on that journey, and they took all sorts of different roles. They noticed who was missing and did something about it. They worked together. They all had different parts to play, and they prayed together. So who is coming on that journey with us as a church as we return to that building, as we prepare for a new start in September, as hopefully all restrictions have eased by then? What are the roles we particularly play? Who is missing? Who is on our fringe? How do we work together? How do we pray together for the good of all? Let's be quiet now and ponder on those things, and then Chris is going to come up and lead us in response.